really nice to be able to come along and give you an update. I realise it's been a while, actually, since anyone from Digital Archives has let you know what we've been doing. We might have been a bit quiet and you've sort of wondered what we're up to. But we thought it was a good opportunity to run you through what we have been doing and what's coming next. So 3 years ago, we were pretty much a building site, and there was a lot of plastic and clapboard and back filler and so on and so forth, and not much digital archiving to speak of. However, now we have transformed into a place where earnest digital archive staff point at screens. So that's, I think, quite an achievement. No, but seriously, there are Danny and Richard, who are two of our team members. And, you know, what's really pleasing, I think, is the way that the Digital Archives has actually integrated a whole lot of archival expertise and understanding with understanding from related disciplines, and particularly programming and computer science, and that's sort of an indication of that. So when we did start the project 3 years ago, we realised that, you know, it was going to be a challenge for a number of reasons. Certainly the New South Wales public sector is a large and diverse thing. We have government organisations that range from the very, very large to the micro. We cross the jurisdictions of state government agencies, local government, state-owned corporations, and more, university. In those agencies, and you'll all know this very well, some agencies are equipped with large, experienced teams of record-keeping professionals, archives people. Others, you know, there's someone who has to sort of do it all and do it part-time. And so we understood early on that the agencies that we would be working with would bring to digital archives work a sort of varied levels of skills and time as well. Now, we have been doing a lot of survey work, and you would have seen the digital record keeping survey results from last year, and that's fantastic. But even with that very good overview of what's happening in the sector, there's no way that we could truly understand the complexities and dependencies of all the systems that are used to keep records across the New South Wales public sector. And the whole area of digital archives, certainly when we started, and I'd say still now, is a discipline that's still in its formation. It's not an area that there's an established body of knowledge, you know, courses pumping out qualified digital archivists. It's sort of something that you really didn't have a manual or a guidebook to. So, you know, requires innovation, requires talking to others, and solving problems on your own. So early on, and some of you might have seen, we posted about these principles on the Futureproof blog. We established some guiding principles for how we wanted to tackle the digital archives. I'll say problem. It's not a problem. It's an excellent thing, but to really deal with some of these challenges. First of all, many of you who deal with state records for archives purposes are familiar with the concept of transfer. And so when we're talking about preparing paper-based records, physical records, to come to us and come under our control at State Archives, we talk about a process of transfer. Early on, we thought, well, that actually doesn't really convey, both for us and for the agency concerned, the range of activities that will be required to happen with a digital records project. And what actually does convey that range of activities better is the notion of migration. And many of you working in government agencies would have been through migrations of various sorts, from one version of a software application to the next, perhaps shutting down a particular business system to transfer to a new one. And so you know that there's a whole lot of decision-making based on thorough analysis of your requirements that has to happen in order to make sure that data is safely and securely transferred into that new environment. And really, the moving of a set of records from one environment to the other is what we're doing. We're moving them from an agency environment into the digital archive. So we really found it a lot more useful to conceptualise these as migrations. and also to bring in a project management stream to each instance where we're dealing with an agency. Because of some of those issues around resourcing, around the level of involvement that the agency was able to give to a project, timing, all of those things we felt could benefit from having a sort of project management type framework around it. So that was very much part of our early thinking. Also, we decided early on that many of the projects we'd seen with digital archives from overseas and elsewhere had sort of taken the approach of, we're going to build a digital archive system. In other words, a sort of very large, do-everything system that would cope with any eventuality that came along. We decided that there were so many useful tools and services that we could bring into our world, if you like, and use at different times, that we wanted to adopt a more modular approach, and one where we could use the best tool for that particular project and for that particular time, knowing that technologies and the tools that are available to us are changing all the time. So rather than one very large digital archive system, if you like, it's more of a connected ecosystem of tools and services. So as I said, we decided to take this project management approach to migrations, and last year we issued the Digital Archives Migration Methodology. Now this is designed to be something that both the agency and State Records could follow in carrying out a digital archives project. It's loosely based on standard project management techniques such as PRINCE2, and it involves four stages now. I think when the exposure draft came out it was three, and you'll now see we have four stages. And the idea with this methodology is, this is something that if you came to us and said, hello State Records, I want to start a project to migrate some records into the digital archives, we would both be using this methodology. So stage one is the project planning stage, or phase, I should say, where we establish, well, what are the outcomes that we want from this project, who's going to be involved, what resources can they put into it, both on the agency side and State Records side, what sort of timeframes are realistic for us to achieve the stated outcomes. And that results in a project plan that both State Records and the agency sign off on. Phase two is where we actually get down into the migration planning. So this requires us to get a really good understanding of the system from which the records are coming, what needs to happen to them, and how we will store and manage and access them over time. And we want that to be in a way that the records are continuing to be available to the agency for their use and access. So you'll be able to respond, for example, to requests under GIPA legislation, and to be able to search in the records in a way that you would have done while you had that system of records in your own organisation. So there's a lot of analysis. We would be requesting information from you, say system documentation, samples of records, talking to people in the agency who use the system, and so on. And that all is designed to result in a plan for the migration of the records in such a way that they'll be securely stored with us, that any changes to the records around format are made in an accountable and documented way, that we understand the metadata that has come with the records and that we're using that to its best advantage. Phase three is the migration, where we actually carry out those actions that we'd previously agreed on, and we validate that we've done what we said we'd do, we've made the format choices and we've enacted them, we've gathered up the metadata, we've indexed the records in the way that we said we wanted to, and so on. And finally, project closure, and that involves some of the final, I guess, legal transfer of control of the records over to State Records, State Archives, advising the agency on what you can do with your source records, because as you would know, there are rules around migration projects whereby you need to decommission or stop retaining those records in accordance with GA 33. We work out exactly how you're going to maintain and dispose of the original source records in agency. And there's a picture of our server rack in what we're very grandly calling the Digital Archives Data Centre, which it's maybe a little bit of a grand label, but it is a very high-end storage array and very well maintained by our systems administrator. So just to give you a flavour of some of the projects that we've been working on throughout the project phase, and we selected these based on need and risk to the records that we knew were requiring urgent attention, but also with a view to projects that would give us an understanding of the range of different kinds of records that we would have to deal with as a digital archive. The Threadbow Lancelet Coronial Inquiry, this system was implemented for the Coronial Inquiry in the late 1990s, 2000s, early 2000s, and it was a Lotus Notes database. I think it was the first wholly electronic coronial inquiry, so there was a lot of born digital material. There's also a lot of scans of physical records. It's a very diverse set of formats. I think there's around 30 or 40 different formats, some of which are quite complex because of the nature of the inquiry, including geophysical analysis. This was a set of records that were held by the National Parks and Wildlife Service for their role within the inquiry, so quite a preservation challenge. Secondly, the Special Commission of Inquiry into Electricity Transactions, which was a very large case management system that was managed for government by a third-party provider. And again, a lot of different format types, all connected up with a lot of metadata around the different actors in the commission, the law firms, the electricity generators, and so on. We have some records from former Premier Nathan Rees, who's, I think his photo's gotten a little stretched there. He's looking very wide, isn't he? Which are primarily from his online presence in the form of social media records, tweets, YouTube videos, and media releases. The business registration system has been a project we've been working on with the Office of Fair Trading, DFS. This function was transferred to the Commonwealth, necessitating the decommissioning of the BRS. And this was an interesting one because, and it continues to be an interesting one, because it's not just a single database, but rather a database connected with an information system into which all the scans of the forms that people would fill in when they register businesses would go. There's also related records that are physical, microfiche of earlier business registrations. So that really tested out some of the flexibility that we needed to have in our methodology to say, well, we need different stakeholders involved here and we need to actually bring in, I guess, that notion of a hybrid project where there's physical and digital elements. So Christina Keneally, quite a simple project in the form of about 107 PDFs of media releases from her administration. We also have a very cute single file project, and this just goes to show that our methodology is designed flexibly so it can it can be used in a very sort of light-handed way for something that's quite small, as well as for those very large complex sort of projects. The Farah Memorial Oration, which was is digital audio files that were in S-tray, with the original being held at the National Film and Sound Archive, but we have now recovered this digital audio. I believe it's a speech about wheat. Yes. So that sort of gives you a flavour of the pilot projects that we've been working on. And I guess what I wanted to do as well is just walk you through what happens at our end within these projects. And you can see that this diagram tries to show both the project planning element and the migration plan, and the fact that format and metadata assessment take a very large part, particularly of constructing the migration plan. So what we do with each project is try to come to grips with what formats, particularly in the form of digital objects, of course the metadata might also, we need to understand what format it is held in, but the more tricky problem from a preservation point of view is often at that digital object level, and work out, okay, are we happy to maintain that record in that format? Do we feel confident we can maintain and manage that, monitor it, know that we have it, but for the short to medium term, are we going to leave it in that format, or are we going to create an additional copy in another format that we believe will be better for preservation or for access? And we're doing that in a way that we record those decisions and register them on something we call the Preservation Pathway Registry, which will be a publicly available registry showing exactly what format choices we're making, and which is using format information from the National Archives of the UK's PRONOM registry. With the idea being we can use all of the quality information they've already gathered together on formats and add to it with our own information as we come across particular preservation problems. And with metadata, which is, of course, so critical to both the meaningfulness and the usability of the records over time, as we analyse the metadata we get with the system, we also make some choices about which elements are the ones that we're going to use or rely most heavily on for managing the records in our archive. And as we make those choices, we're going to map those elements to a standard schema, which is going to give definition and meaning to things like, well, how are we going to think about titles, record titles? How are we going to think about the date a record was created? What term are we going to use in the digital archive? And what are we going to map from each of these systems to those terms? And again, the metadata registry will be online and publicly available, and it will grow over time as we encounter more and more systems and we register more and more metadata. We then, having done that analysis, made those choices around formats and metadata, we have tools that we've developed in-house to actually execute those decisions and migrate the records, inclusive of their metadata, into our repository and into a more standardised environment where we can hold a range of different systems, but with some normalisation so that we can search across them and we can manage them over time. So there's a batch migrate tool that we have that we use to execute those decisions, and we also have a search application which supports both search within the archive for the staff of the archive, will support search by the agency for their records that are with us that are still closed to public access, and that will support public access search online. Digital records that need to be retained permanently for government and society are safe, meaningful and accessible. What's in it for you working in agencies? So what we want this to be is more than just a way for us to fulfil our responsibility as the State Archives to make sure that the digital business of government that is required to be retained permanently is there. We want this to be a resource to assist with migrations of digital records more broadly. Certainly the methodology in its final form, which is coming out by the middle of the year, we would say can be used for a range of migration scenarios, not just ones where we're going to be involved because the records are coming to us as State Archives. As we work on more and more projects, our wish is to capture and share what we learn about digital preservation and digital record keeping with all of you via the Futureproof blog, via information, case studies on sort of how we solve particular problems. And of course, all of this complements the existing advice that State Records has provided for some time on migrating digital records and establishing and maintaining digital record keeping systems. As I said, Preservation Pathways will be an online resource which will give information about our choices. So here's a strange sort of variant on a Word format from the 90s that we encountered. Here's the format that we decided to create in addition, which we believe is better for long-term preservation. So that sort of information will be available in a searchable database, essentially, and as I said, linked up with the work that's done by other government archives, including the National Archives of the UK, so that if you're faced with preservation or format challenges, you'll have a resource there that you can use. And the metadata registry will, I think, be useful not just to see how we're using metadata in the archive, but in systems development and design in agency to see, well, this is how State Records is using title information. These are the constraints. This is the standard way that they express metadata for date. This is how they construct relationships between records. So we believe that it will be a useful resource for agencies in configuring their own systems and seeing how we're using metadata in the archive. So the idea is that come mid-2014, which will be the 3-year anniversary of the project, those tools and resources that I've mentioned will be online. The digital archives that have been successfully migrated in the project will be available via search, which is our main search tool in the archives. So, for example, the Christina Keneally media releases, because they're early access, so there's no barrier to making them available straight away. And the project will move into normal operations business as usual. And as I said, agency access to closed records. So, for example, the majority of the records of the Commission of Inquiry into Electricity Transactions are closed for 30 years, excepting the final reports of that commission. But the Department of Premier and Cabinet, as the responsible agency, would have a way to remotely access those records should they need to do so for GIPR and other reasons. The agency access to closed records is a piece of work that may take a little longer than the middle of the year, though, because we want to make sure it's very safe and secure. Finally, and a slight change, shift of gear, but I can't talk to this group without mentioning our other project and giving it a bit of a spruik, which is OpenGov. And just to say that, and many of you would have seen, OpenGov has been promoted as where you can upload your annual report for the last financial year, as well as other published information, so that there's a whole of government repository for not just now, but for over time, and to reduce the need for you to keep older versions of these sorts of publications on your own website. And we've been really pleased with the response. We've had a really great influx of 2013 annual reports, so I'd encourage you to continue to use it. We're also currently working on an enhancement project to make its functionality better and to make its search better. And again, middle of this year is looking very busy. That enhanced version of OpenGov is due for to be rolled out in the middle of this year. So that just about wraps up.